You gentlemen, appreciate your faithfulness in giving. Psalm chapter 22, you may remain seated. I want to share one verse of scripture with you, and then we will build upon it in just a moment. And as we consider this thought tonight, I want you to develop it in your mind with me and try to process it and what God has in His Word. I'm so thankful that I've got a Bible and the things that I can learn from it. There are some truth here that we need to understand. Psalm chapter 22, just look in verse number 1. See if you recognize these words. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Think about that. And from the words of my roaring. When you read those words, your mind is automatically taken to another passage and another area of Scripture, I'm sure. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the Wednesday night before the week and the weekend that we are recognizing of what would be the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, on Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. So therefore, I felt it only appropriate on this Wednesday night as we head into these very special days for our convictions and our faith and what we believe in the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, for us to consider a thought about prayer from our Lord Himself, a prayer that was given actually from the cross that He was hanging on and suffering and paying the price of all of our sins. Psalm chapter 22 is really, it's really interesting. When I was reading it to you just a minute ago, surely your mind was taken to some other passages of Scripture, but Psalm 22 is a prophetic psalm. The psalmist David is the one who is giving it to us, and it is pointing to the crucifixion of Christ, the Lord, on the cross. Now, when we think about these words that I just read to you, again, I remind you, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When we think about the crucifixion of our Lord, our minds automatically go to the gospel accounts, do they not? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what we find in the Word of God having to do with those gospel accounts. But when we come here into Psalm chapter 22, what separates Psalm 22 from the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John account, and what makes it so much more unique, is as you study this, you learn in God's Word right here that what it is giving us is a in-the-mind glimpse of what our Lord was actually thinking, what our Lord was even uttering and moaning, as we'll see in just a moment. So many of the gospel accounts of the crucifixion, it is giving us the very real historic account of what happened on Calvary that day. In many cases, witnesses that were there and saw it. I think of John, witnesses that saw it. But here in Psalm 22, this is a prophetic psalm. David is writing here and he is giving us these details about what our Lord was thinking and the process that was going through his mind. So because of the similarities of what we are seeing, and again, I read these words to you, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as you go further throughout the psalm, you will find, and you try to parallel that with gospel accounts, you will find that there are great similarities between Psalm 22 and the gospel accounts. So many of such, to the point that you will learn that many Bible scholars even believe that Jesus himself quoted the words in its entirety of Psalm 22 while hanging on the cross. Certainly can't confirm that or deny that by any means, but many people believe because there are so many similarities. And because it's in many cases, as we've seen here in verse 1, it is word-to-word similarities that Christ very well likely may have even quoted the psalm in its entirety. And so it is here that we find Jesus, he is praying to the Father. The Father, of course, being in heaven. And I remind us again, if our Lord himself saw the need to pray to the Father, how much more important is it for you and I to be faithful in praying to the Father? That's what Christ is doing. He is praying to his Father in heaven. And in this critical and this most pivotal moment of his earthly life, what we are finding is Jesus right here, he is laying out his heart. He is sharing what is on his mind. He's letting us know, giving us a sneak peek, a glimpse into the very mind of Christ. Have you ever wanted to see into the mind of Christ? Well, as we read Psalm 22, we're able to see little glimpses into the mind of Christ. It's not historical. This is mental. This is what he was actually thinking, and it is given to us hundreds of years before the crucifixion ever came. So thinking of this, there are four things quickly that I want to give you concerning this thought right here as we go in to Resurrection Week, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, of the Lord praying while he's on the cross, because that's what he's doing here. He is praying while on the cross, while in the most difficult period of his life. And that's what I want you to get now. First of all, there is the difficulty of the hour. Think about it, the difficulty of the hour. Verse number 1 again says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The prophecy of David that is given to us right here, it is given to us in such a way that it is letting us know that this was literally the words of Christ prophesied of what Jesus was going to say while on the cross. The prophetic words of David in this text right here, they mirror perfectly many of the accounts given to us in the gospel of the crucifixion, those moments when our Lord was hanging on the cross. So with that in mind, and with that consideration, if you have spent much time at all studying the crucifixion in the Gospels, then there's nobody here that is going to argue with me that this was the most difficult hour that is being prophetically told us on Psalm 22, the most difficult hour in the earthly life and ministry, the earthly life in general of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I would submit to our hearts, that being what he was doing on the cross, paying the price of your sin and mine, if it was the most difficult and pivotal hour in his earthly life, then I would submit to our hearts that it was the most difficult and pivotal hour in all of history. This would have been the most difficult time that anyone would have ever experienced at any time, in any aspect, or in any walk of life. This was it. No one could have experienced anything more difficult than this. And I'm going to talk to you more about that on the Lord's Day on Sunday. Now, over the years, these years that I've been in the ministry, do you know what I've learned? One of the things that I've learned is that the people of God are experiencing difficulty in ways daily in their lives, more so than the average believer sitting right next to them on their pew or in their seat can even begin to fathom or even can begin to comprehend. I want you to know that on all sides of you right now, in your left, to your right, before you and behind you, in many cases, there are people right now that are battling things and struggling things with things and going through some of the most difficult experiences and the difficult moments and hours of their life. Many times it's mind-numbing to me, it's mind-blowing to me, the struggle that people are going through. Now, we all must admit, so often, many of the struggles that we battle and we face, look, they are simply our own fault. Many of them are just due to our poor choices. They are due to our irresponsibility when it comes to the actions that we are having, the sin that we are involving our lives in. And many times, that's exactly the type of condition we find ourselves in, simply because we made some bad decisions in life. That's not always the case. Many times God's people are going through trials. God's people are in the most difficult hours of their life due to nothing whatsoever that they themselves have done wrong. But just simply because they are in an hour of difficulty now, and I personally believe that the reason that God brings us in many cases into these difficult hours of our lives is simply to rekindle the passion of prayer in our hearts. And in our lives, many times we get to just floating right along, don't we? In life. Boy, everything's going good. The job is going good right now. Hey, the wife, the husband, everything is going good. The kids are running strong. All of our bills are paid. The car is actually starting up today. There's not a leak in the roof at the house. I mean, things are going just fine. And when things start going fine, we begin to get away and slip away from the passion that we will have in prayer. When we know that we've got everything under control, or it seems that we do, we don't seem to have a problem in the world. When the alarm clock goes off 30 minutes earlier than it normally would for you to get up and go pray before you go to work and have your devotion, you automatically think, oh, things are okay. I don't need to talk to God right now. I'll be able to get away. Let me sleep another 30 minutes. That's just our human nature. That's the weakness of our flesh. Friend, let me tell you something. One of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in life is that I'm just faithful in my prayer time and that I do not neglect it. So therefore, I've got a clean and a clear communication to the Lord whenever I do find that the job is falling apart, the car won't start, the roof is leaking, the family has its problems or whatever. I've just learned, keep that voice fresh in the ear of God. See, difficult hours and difficult times are going to come. And right here, Jesus himself is finding him in the most difficult time of his life. There are many of us in this building now that you are in some of what could be the most difficult time of your life. Time of indecision, time of struggle, time of terror in your life, fear, whatever it might be, difficulty, and maybe nobody else even knows about it, but you walked in this building and you have got difficulty tonight. I just simply want you to know that you are not alone. Not only are there other people in this building, in our lives, that are facing difficult hours in our life, but also Christ has been there before. And so we see the difficulty of the hour. Develop it further. Now that we understand that our Lord was having the difficulty of the hour, think with me now about what we see next in the text. Not only the difficulty of the hour, think about the distance of the helper. The distance of the helper. Look further again at verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now we just considered that. Look at the rest of the verse now though, and you're going to see it. Why art thou, look at it, so far from helping me? How many of us have been in that spot in our life before? Oh God, I'm in the darkest hour of my life. I'm struggling as I've never struggled before. I am calling out to you. I feel like that you're not there right now. I feel like that you have forsaken me. And I'm just wondering, dear God, where are you? Where is my helper in the midst of all of this? Now think about it again. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? By the way, don't you ever let anyone talk you in or even begin trying to talk you in to the thought process, the heresy that God the Father did not fully forsake God the Son on the cross of Calvary. You need to understand that he did totally forsake the Son. And we understand why, don't we? God is holy, God is just, God is perfect, and because you are who you are and the sin that you carry in your life, God cannot look on that sin. There was no way possible. And so therefore, every aspect of God the Father was severed from God the Son while on the cross. Totally forsaken. Totally in every way, he was forsaken. Now, it's here in his most difficult hour that we find the Son, Jesus himself, further away from the Father than he had ever been before. You talk about being alone on an island. He had never known what loneliness was before. That's how deep the difficulty of his hour was. Realize right here, God is so distant from me. Have you ever found yourself in a place in your life before where you were praying and you were praying and you were praying and you were praying and you were praying in the middle of your difficult hour? It seemed like the more diligent you were in your prayer, and I'm talking about the harder that you prayed on it, you realize the distance that there just seemed to be between you and God. It seemed like he was nowhere near. It seemed like that he could not hear you. As a result, he could not help you. There was distance there. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible tells us that if we regard sin in our heart, iniquity in our heart, our prayer is hindered. Our prayer is not going to be heard. This tells you a little bit deeper about the deep separation, the forsaking of the Father from the Son. Think about it. Even the prayers of Jesus Christ is a picture right here of how deep the forsaken action was of the Father for the Son, because he was bearing the sin of all of humanity at that hour. So therefore, God the Father and God the Son were separated so deeply that even the prayers, Even the prayers were affected in the midst of it. You and I, many times we have things in our heart. We have things in our life. They are so displeasing to God. Our prayer is hindered. Our relationship is created a distance in between the two, between God and between ourselves right now. And there's things that we need to get right. Even in this building tonight, there are people here that have got this in their life or that in their life. And many of us just need to simply get it right. But you know what I'm talking about. You have felt the distance, have you? Haven't you? It seems like God is so far away, nowhere near. The harder you pray, it just seems like it is bouncing off of the wall. It's difficult, isn't it? There is the distance that is there, but yet you're in that darkest hour and most difficult hour of your life, and you're needing to get in touch with God. You're needing to contact God. I want you to know tonight that the next time that you are feeling that way, you just need to remember simply this, that our Lord is truly touched by the feeling of our infirmity, because again, you're not alone. Other people are that way, but Christ Himself felt the distance in the middle of the difficulty of the most difficult hour of His life. He felt the distance. Isn't it a good thing to know that He truly can identify with where we are at? Those of us here tonight that feel the distance in the middle of the difficulty, just know you got to keep on praying through. And that's what Christ teaches us in the third thought that I want you to consider with me. We not only think about right here the difficulty of the hour, then there was the distance of the helper. It seemed like God was nowhere near. He was not hearing even His own Son. So what did Jesus do? We see here the diligence of the hope. I use the word hope right here simply because prayer leads to hope, doesn't it? It does. If you're here tonight and you feel totally hopeless in your life, hopeless in the difficulty of your hour, hopeless in the distance that you are experiencing from the Lord right now, you just got to keep on praying. The greatest failure of our life in the modern church today is this is not what we do. And I speak of this frequently. We quit praying too soon. So therefore, we're trying our best to press on with this, trying to keep an emphasis on prayer and asking God to move. And boy, I think God has moved. I thank Him for what He has done. Jesus right here, He is in the most difficult hour of His life, of human history. You and I can't even begin to fathom the difficulty again more on that Sunday. He's in that difficult hour. There's distance, even in the lowest moment, the most difficult and darkest hour of His life. Couldn't get a hold of God the Father. There was distance. The help just was not there. So what did He do? Oh, He just kept on praying. He just kept on being diligent in it. Look further at verse number 1. He says, "Why art thou so far from helping me?" Now notice these words, "and from the words of my roaring." Do you see that? From the words of my roaring. That word roaring that is given to us, it's interesting, isn't it? It is speaking to us right here of rumble. It is speaking actually of the moan of the prayer of Jesus Christ. In other words, in many cases, hanging on the cross because of the pain and because of the suffering of the hour, that difficult hour that He was in, and the distance that He felt being forsaken by the Father, there were some times that He couldn't even get the words out. So therefore, even our Lord Himself, while He was hanging on the cross, He was just groaning. He was roaring. He was rumbling in prayer. You ever been in a point in a time in your life you could not get the words out? There have been many times in my life when I've just been in a situation, maybe a difficult hour. Maybe there was distance and I just couldn't seem to get God. I didn't know what to say anymore. I just start moaning, groaning, roaring within myself because I don't have the words to say. This is another reason why we can rejoice in the resurrection, because we now have an interceder at the right hand of the Father that will clean up every one of those moaning prayers, those groaning, those roaring moments when we just cannot get it out, when our tears just continue to fall. We cannot even speak. God sees and God knows. Jesus does. And He takes it to the Father and says, "This is what John Alverson is trying to say." Christ in this setting right here, this difficult hour, the distance that was there, He was just groaning.
He was roaring in his prayer. It was a difficult time. It was a time when he couldn't even get the words out, and I don't even believe that it was necessarily because of the physical pain that he was feeling. At this moment, could it not be that the pain of separation from the Father was even greater than the pain of his body? The diligence and the intensity of the prayer of our Lord right here, it is likened to the prayer of agony that he had just done a few days earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know the story, how that he prayed in such agony. That was the intensity of the prayer that our Lord was using on the cross. Can you see the landmark, the benchmark, the blueprint of prayer that he is giving to each one of us here today? When we're in those hours of difficulty, when there just seems to be such distance, friends, you have got to be diligent. You've got to keep on praying. You've got to come to the point where you just say, "Dear God, I'm just groaning. I'm mourning. I'm roaring. Oh, God, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. God, I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to handle it. Oh, God." You're groaning, and that's what you got to do. You've got to be diligent in prayer. You say, "Nobody understands that. Nobody down here has to understand it." Some of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard were prayers that I couldn't even hardly understand because of the tears, because of the passion that was behind them. I've told you before, when I was in business, probably been 20 years ago now, we had gone downtown, our company did, to do a job, and it was in a black church. It was like on a Tuesday or something. Well, they had a prayer meeting. All of the deacons and the pastor, let me tell you something, they had a prayer meeting in the middle of the day. I was in the middle of the hallway, and I remember I was going about my work, working on that floor. And all of a sudden, coming out of the sanctuary, they had a prayer room on the top level up there. And they walked all by me. There was probably 15 or 20 of them. And they walked all by me. They did not acknowledge me. They walked straight. They never turned to the left or to the right with their head. They walked straight. And they were just grumbling, meaning moaning, as they walked. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, in the black man sound that there was. Made their way up the steps and went up. Went up to their prayer room afterwards. And when those 12, 15, 20, whatever men that it was, got in there and went to praying, I could run every machine in the building and you could still hear those men praying. But through the closed door and through the ceiling that separated us, I could not hear a word that anybody would say. But every once in a while, I would hear one voice that I could recognize, Joel, and the voice would say, "Oh, Lords, we need you. We need you, Lords. We need you. Oh, God, we need you." I didn't understand anything else, but there was one man who was crying out to God. He understood his need, his desperation, and the difficulty in the distance. He was diligent about it. He said, "Oh God, I need you. I don't know much about the doctrine of that group. It was a Baptist church. I don't know much about this or about that. But what I know is they taught me that day a little bit about prayer." Those 15 or 20 men were just groaning and moaning in prayer. And the only thing I understood was, "Oh God, we need you." Wouldn't it be great tonight if we just broke out in a prayer meeting? We couldn't understand anything that anybody was saying. And I'm not talking about tongues or nothing like that. I'm talking about people just groaning out before God. But every once in a while, somebody just said, "Dear God, we need you. We need you. We need you." Sometimes that's all God wants to hear, is how incapable we are of anything. And we've got to have God. The diligence that he is showing us here and that he is teaching us of prayer. Look further at verse number 2. Oh my God. He says, "I cry," Jesus said, "I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent," he says. He says, "I'm crying in the morning. I'm crying in the afternoon. And I'm crying at night. I'm not being silent. But Father, you seem to be." It takes us back to the difficulty of the hour and the distance that was there, but Christ was still diligent.
He knew the Father had forsaken him. He said it, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But yet he kept on praying. Even in the middle of all of that, he prayed when the sun was shining. He prayed when God blotted out the sun from the earth in its entirety, and he kept on praying. It was endless in his praying, endless in his roaring, endless in his rumbling, endless in his moaning of prayer. He prayed until it is finished, or it was finished. That takes us back to what our church has been praying for now for a couple of months. Praying for our church, praying for our country, praying for this COVID mess. We need to pray endless until God answers the prayer. I hope that you're still doing that. So we see the difficulty of the hour. We see the distance of the helper. We see the diligence of hope in his prayer. He was diligent in it, but think with me fourthly and finally right here that we see the details of history that he gives us. Look at verse number 3. I like this. Keeping in mind, this is a picture, prophetically speaking, of Christ on the cross. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabiteth the praise of Israel, the one that receives the praise of God's people. Verse 4. Our fathers, pointing back, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted. And thou didst deliver them. Our fathers, our ancestors, they trusted, and you never let them down. You were there all along. Jesus knew, ladies and gentlemen, that even though it was difficult, even though it was really hurting right then, physically and emotionally, even though he understood that there was distance, he was still going to be diligent. And as he looked back, he knew the story of the Old Testament, of course, as he's quoting likely Psalm 22. He knew everything about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew everything about David. He knew everything about the royal bloodline. He knew why he was hanging on the cross. He knew that God, from the foundation of time, had a bigger plan. His job was just to be diligent. His job was just to be faithful to it unto the very end. God did deliver him. And that's what we'll celebrate on Sunday. His deliverance came in the resurrection. He vindicated all of mankind through him paying the price of sin. Friend, I want you to know today, and I want you to understand this evening, and if you did walk in here this evening and you were faced with those difficult hours, there just seemed like there was distance. I've got to be talking to some folks who have felt like that. I am telling you, you just be diligently faithful, always looking back to how God has never one time let you down in the past. He will never let you down in the future. You just be faithful to everything God has given you. He's got a bigger plan than what you and I can see. We're going to pray in just a moment, but we had an interesting conversation at our house last night. Some things that we wanted to see God work in our life. It's all four of us sitting in the living room. Some things that we wanted to see God work in our life and in our circumstances. And in many cases, they weren't a huge thing. You know, sometimes you just pray and you ask the Lord to do some small things. Nothing wrong with that either. We were asking God and talking about God providing for us and talking to the girls. And we said, can you look back and you find any time that mom and dad have not seen to it that you had everything that you needed and in many cases, some cases, what you wanted? To which they replied and said, no. I sat there thinking about that. I'm flesh. I'm human. If I have never failed to take care of my family in the way that I can that God has provided, God in heaven is never, ever, ever, ever going to fail to deliver you and I. Whatever your hour of difficulty is now, whatever the distance that you are feeling, it seems like God isn't hearing, God isn't helping. You just have to be diligent. And our Lord teaches us that principle in Psalm 22. Because God gives us the details. God also gives us direction at the end of the book to know that we will win. We will be okay. Our job is to be faithfully diligent, calling out to God. The altars of God are open. I challenge you to find you a place down here right now. Joel, come.